ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
The People's Republic of China and the U.S. State Department. Soft power is at hand with the State Department. But questions arise about the State Department's leaving out pieces, very large pieces, of China's bad acting, not only in its neighborhood against its own region, but also against the United States citizens in particular, and against the sanctions regime, not only in Russia, but also in Iran. I welcome Josh Rogan, who writes global opinions at The Washington Post, to observe the State Department right now, this moment, and how in attempting to reestablish communication at the highest level with China, you will recall that the Secretary of State Blinken's mission to China was called off because of events, most recent events, the surveillance balloon floating over the vital bases of the United States, that conversation, it looks to start again. But Josh writes Global Opinions, and he also writes over several months about how we've had reason to believe this was not going well. Josh, a very good evening to you. Let's start at springtime. What is it that Mr. Blinken wants to accomplish by reawakening the embassy to China that he interrupted because of the balloon? Good evening to you.
Well, good evening, John. Well, there's no doubt that the State Department is following the instructions here of President Biden, who wants to reestablish high-level dialogue with his old friend, Chinese President Xi Jinping. And there is an understandable desire amongst U.S. diplomats to have some sort of working relationship with their Chinese counterparts, because right now the bilateral channels are basically shut down. Right now the two worlds superpowers are basically not talking to each other, even in private. And that is necessarily a bad state of affairs. The problem, I think, with the State Department in particular's approach, and this has been, as you rightly mentioned, developing over the last few months as the bilateral relationship has worsened, is that increasingly people around Washington and around the world are starting to notice that the State Department is pulling its punches when it comes to confronting China's bad actions on a range of issues. And what I mean by that is that, you know, the Biden administration public-facing policy is that we're not going to stop calling out China for a lot of things it does that affect Americans, including contributing to the trafficking of fentanyl or busting U.S. sanctions on Iran or repressing people through human rights violations, while it seeks to cooperate with China. And what we see now is the State Department toning down that criticism. And there are several examples where they've obscured China's actions on these issues, purportedly to make this a better atmosphere for restoring the relations. And, you know, that may sound rational, but the problem is that this is a tactic that plays into Beijing's hands, because what the Chinese government wants and wants the most is for the United States to shut up about its bad actions. And they dangle that cooperation as leverage. And for 45 years, we've been falling into that trap. And now we were supposed to be aware of it and avoiding it, but it seems that we're falling into it once again.
Let's get to the examples you offer in your most recent column. Fentanyl. How is the State Department pulling its punch on fentanyl?
Right. Well, the idea here is that they want to cooperate on counter narcotics with China, because if you can't cooperate on things like counter narcotics, what could you really cooperate on? That's kind of like the low hanging fruit, if there is low hanging fruit in the U.S.-China relations. The problem is the Chinese government doesn't see it that way. And they cut off counter narcotics cooperation after Nancy Pelosi went to Taiwan as a protest. And that should tell you how much they care about counter narcotics cooperation. In other words, they don't. So what the State Department did was, when sanctions came out recently in the Treasury Department on Mexican entities that are involved in trafficking fentanyl to Americans, the State Department obscured the fact that the precursor chemicals come from China. They just took it out of the press release. And what I revealed is that they did this in order to appease China to make the environment better for a possible trip by Secretary Blinken, which later got canceled anyway because the Chinese flew a spy balloon over the United States, but they didn't know that at the time. And, you know, what senators on Capitol Hill say is that, listen, you know, Chinese government has an ability to stop these chemicals from flowing out of China that are killing Americans every day. And, you know, by neutering our own response in the hopes of cooperation, we're just being naive. And that, you know, sure, it would be great if China cooperated with us on drug trafficking. But since they're not doing that, and they don't seem to want to do that, we should not pull our punches and not be shy about calling them out on it. And I think that's really a good example of where the State Department is self-censoring in order to do what? To, you know, get back into a negotiation with China that's on something they're not interested in anyway. That seems to be me to be prioritizing the diplomacy over actually solving the problem.
You provide a specific example, naming and quoting two high officials in the government. Senator Bill Hagerty, Republican of Tennessee, who was a U.S. ambassador to Japan, is well acquainted with the region, speaking with Deputy Secretary of State Wendy Sherman, who has all the authority needed. And the senator said, "I'm gravely concerned the State Department omitted mentioning China, the point of your column, from these fentanyl sanctions because the Secretary of State wanted to have this trip to Beijing." How did Ms. Sherman respond?
Right. Well, Wendy Sherman, our Deputy Secretary of State, who has a huge role in our China policy, denied that they obscured China's involvement in fentanyl trafficking because they were afraid that the trip would be affected. But in fact, they did obscure it from the press release because they were afraid the trip was going to be affected. So, you know, that's a kind of a misleading statement that she gave to Congress. But setting that aside, I think the point that Senator Hagerty and others are making is, why are you doing that? What's the point of taking it out of one press release? Do you really think that is really going to, the Chinese are going to look at that and say, "Oh, great. Okay, you took it out of the press release. I guess that means you're honest brokers on this thing." Or are they just going to see that as a unilateral concession? And then that actually gives them the incentive to demand more concessions. You're actually undermining your own goal. So, you know, again, these are sort of patterns that U.S. Administrations have followed for a long time with China, including up until including the Obama administration. One of the interesting things about the Trump administration, you know, complicated and as it was that they didn't do that. They didn't give unilateral concessions in the hope of engagement because they realized that that was counterproductive. And eventually the Chinese came around and sat down at the table, but only when pressure was applied on them, not when they were given concessions. And
another example in your column is sanctions, not on Russia, where there's much to talk about because of the expectation or suspicion that China is providing all kinds of aid to Russia's aggression, but on Iran. How is Iran part of this story that's being left out by the State Department?
Right. So this example actually comes from the Iran team led by Rob Malley. And again, the Treasury Department issues a bunch of Iran sanctions and says very clearly that China is the one buying the oil. And then when it comes out from the Iran team, it says, oh, East Asia is the one buying the oil. And why would they do that? Or why would they change China to East Asia? Well, there's only really one reason. It's because they're trying not to upset the Beijing. And, you know, if you just think about that for 1 second, well, you know, what you're doing is you're obscuring the truth. And there's no evidence that it's going to convince Beijing to stop doing the thing that you're doing. So what you're really doing is making it harder to hold them accountable. And again, this is just a pattern of the State Department looking at things that China was doing and saying to themselves, oh, let's not say China. Let's just, you know, take that out of the public space because we're afraid it could be annoying to the Chinese. And I just think that's the wrong way to think about it. And a lot of people agree with that.
I have not seen details on this, Josh, but I ask about the surveillance balloon, which was the reason Secretary Blinken paused in his embassy to China. Did China ever acknowledge the fact that that was a surveillance balloon? I don't remember. They said it was meteorological research that drifted off course was the first version. Have they updated that?
No, that not only have they denied that it was a military asset, when Chinese Foreign Minister Wang Yi met with Secretary of State Tony Blinken in Munich last month, he demanded that the United States apologize for shooting down the balloon. So rather than admit any culpability, in fact, they've turned it into a grievance, an unresolved grievance. That just shows you what it's like to deal with the CCP these days. You know, their basic stance is, I am rubber, you are glue. Everything you say bounces off of me and sticks to you. And that's not really a good starting point for any constructive conversation of any kind.
It strikes me that these are smaller versions of the larger formula that we've lived with these years, or the origins of the virus. China denies everything. There are statements made that suggest that there's much to learn in China, and yet the State Department goes very carefully when it confronts China with the unknowns. Quite different, say, from our ally Australia, that was confrontational with China, and that led to enmity between the two states. But in any event, Australia had the advantage of telling the truth. So this looks to be an echo through time, Josh, not just now, but over the last several years. I want to turn to previous columns of yours where our allies note that China is the aggressor, and I puzzle how our allies are hearing this careful editing by the State Department approaching the People's Republic of China. I'm speaking with Josh Rogan. He writes global opinions for the Washington Post, and the subject is how the U.S. State Department's soft power is confronting the People's Republic of China. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps.
In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic.
Keep your eyes on the road.
Hop on Moto Casino.
Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly.
Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.